Let's go to the word. Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of your word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion. There is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive your word this morning. And we declare and decree that at the end of this meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ the Lord is glorified. Hallelujah. Romans 15. They honor what?
Culture.
Romans 15. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Whose mother's name here is Elizabeth? Whose mother's name here is Elizabeth? Mother, auntie, senior person, Elizabeth. Who is that person here? I just saw someone, an elderly person. Someone, yeah? Don't forget your mother's name. Are we together? Yeah? Who knows an Elizabeth here? An Elizabeth that is an elderly person. I'm seeing someone who is an elderly person. Is no one here? No one here? An aunt, family, I could say mother figure for that, yeah. Anyways, I'll just go ahead with that. God's powers are working in that person's body. I could see healing, right? I could see the need for healing. I'll receive total healing for that person. Yeah, when you remember, if you remember the person, that's fine. We'll say what we need to say around that. Look at Romans chapter 15. We're looking at what? The honor culture. The honor culture. Now, we said that honor is something that as a local church, we want to treat with all sense of regard. Are we together? I just used the definition there. But, you know, honor is something that we want as a local church to be identified for, to be known for, that we are honorable people. Look at Romans chapter 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, they were written for our learning, that we through patience and the comfort of the scriptures might have hope, right? That we through patience and the comfort of scriptures might have hope, right? That's something that Paul is saying. So what is he saying, really? Well, when you go through the writings of Genesis all through to Malachi, you would realize that there are several stories. And Paul is saying that the stories that you find in these books are stories they are to make us wise, like Paul was saying, 1 Timothy, rather. But he says there are stories that, in the real sense, that they are written for our learning. So Paul was saying in Timothy that they are written to make us wise. Are we together? And all scriptures are written by God. All scriptures are inspired by God. Are we together? Right? And they are written for teaching, or we have them for teaching, for instruction in righteousness, that a man of God will be thoroughly furnished. Right? So that's 2 Timothy 3. Right? But you see this, that it says the scriptures were written for us to learn. So are there several stories in the writings of the scriptures? Yeah? Several stories, right? So we have several stories in the writings of the scriptures, and in those stories, they are written for our learning. Yeah? But you know, more often than not, we find ourselves as Christians shielding away from some of these stories. Or we don't even read them. That's why you can be in the church and somebody is asking, yeah, open your Bible to the book of Nahum. Are we together? Right? And you'll be asking, Nahum, right? Habakkuk, all right? You're looking so fine today. Yeah, you are for me. That means Habakkuk cooked you. Are we together? Right? If they say open, there are all people that use those lines for their ladies and their men. If they say open Habakkuk now, they will start from Revelation. Are we together? Right? But I'm trying to say that there are lots of stories, right, that we don't just gloss around or push to the side. So we looked at some of the stories around honor. I would say honor is costly. Is that correct?
Yes,
yeah, honor is costly. Oh, no, sorry. Dishonor is costly. Are we together? Right? This honor is costly. And you would realize as well that honor as well can give you certain things. Are we together? Honor can give you certain things. Are we together? Right? So if you look through scriptures, go back to chapter 12 of Romans. Let me pay attention to a type of honor today. Look at Romans 12. You know, we looked at stories. Hold on, before you go to Romans 12. Some of the stories we looked at. Abiram. Mm-hmm. Simon and Saul. Korah and Abednego. I'm hearing Korah and Abednego somewhere. Who taught you? Korah and Abednego are not the same. Korah and the 250. Melchizedek and Abraham. Is that correct? Aaron and Miriam. So in Aaron and Miriam's story, what did we see? We saw two people dishonored their brother and their pastor. Is that correct? And what happened? leprosy. What did Moses do? Moses prayed for them and they got healed. We saw two chapters after, Dathan, Korah, and Abednego. You put Abednego in my mouth. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Right? They convinced, they took 250 people from the crowd of the church of Moses, so to say. Right? And they what? They started walking against Moses. To the point that Moses said, go and call these people for me. I want to have a meeting with them. I said, who is Moses? And what happened? You see, God is a loving God. He now gave an instruction. If you know you are not part of that thing, please shift. Is that not love? Yeah. Bible records that the ground opened and swallowed them. Is it in the Bible? Yes, it's not figure of speech. You know, I've told you, my theology has not got you to understand, right, the kind of dishonor that people can recover from. But I know that there are people who are going through certain things in their lives today. I can tell you for free, it is somebody they dishonored. Yes, and it's the truth, right? And we Pentecostals and I don't know what do we call ourselves, right? Charismatics and cool. We, especially those of us who are coming into the truth of God's word, we believe that we can just behave anyhow to anyone. And I'm saying to you today that this is not to put fear in you. We saw a story that God had to ask them, were you not scared to say? Is that correct? That's Miriam. Yeah. So, were you not scared to say the things you said? And I said, it's godly for you as a Christian to be scared of saying certain things about certain people. Let me say it differently. You shouldn't say terrible things about people generally. Altogether. Yeah? But there are certain people. Yeah? It's God's choice. Right? It's God's will that there are certain people He will choose. Thank you very much. Thanks a lot. Yeah? There are certain people that He will choose to do certain things. For instance, in Moses' generation, how many Moses did they have?
One.
How many Joshua did they have?
One.
How many Abraham did they have?
One.
Yeah? So God will use men. Right? So I tell you, as your pastor, if I'm your pastor at all, I beg you, when you see where they are talking about men of God, what do you do? Pack your load and leave. You know, we also found out that some of the things that people got themselves, they got consequences for because of their dishonor. If you trace it very well, there was something bad, in quotes, that the man they dishonored did. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, you can trace it. And that's why I tell you, when you start getting close to certain God servants generally, up your what? Honor game. Are we together? Right? Up it up. You know why? Because you will see flaws. I remember, God has a content. Are we together? And the container. And the container does not always look like the content. But God expects the content container to align. That was Wednesday's teaching, right? Yeah? So God expects. So it means that there are people you will see. Yeah? That can tell you for free. They have the deposit of God's Spirit. But they might not look as perfect as you think. So, I know a lot of times, the only reason why you know imperfections of people is because you are close to them. Some of you don't know your husband. You didn't know your wife. Until you started what? Getting close. The more you start getting close, what happens? Revelation knowledge. It floods your heart. Because your heart is, you know, sometimes something you just have, you just like, if to say I see this thing, if I saw this thing prior to, I would have spent some time praying. You know, there are some times, you know, there are local, and let me say this carefully. You know, it's very godly for you to carry your spiritual leader along, particularly on matters of love. I don't know how I'm tilting away from this today, but it's good for you. Are we together? Sometimes you are blinded by lust, such that even when you pray, or let me say love, such that when you pray, what you will see is what you want to see. Your utterances will just flow towards that brother. You just see. Such that even when you come for believers meeting, they will be talking about random things. You will see that brother or that sister. Yeah, I see you lead the brother. I see you lead the sister. It doesn't really look like it's a Christian relationship starting from. But so, and before you know, you just think it's that person. Are we together? I want you to talk to your leaders, for instance. I talk to your pastor about it. You know, I've been in a local church. Bless my heart. Let me skip this for today. Right? But I can tell you for free, there are certain things your pastor or your leader knows about certain people that nobody else knows. Altogether. You know, pastoring in the last few days has exposed me to sin. I remember when I met my wife. My wife usually will be asking, you know, maybe for instance, on situations where Either speaking to someone over the phone and she's beside me, or, you know, she ends up, or maybe she looks through my phone or something. And she's like, how do people tell you this private part of your life? Like, do you understand? It was confusing to her. Yes, I was like, what are people not supposed to? People are, you know, different people have different this thing. But, you know, in the field as a pastor, and I've seen that people say some things to me that will shock me. And I dare not be act shocked. I dare not act shocked. Are we together? I dare not. Are we together? Right? So imagine you come and tell me now and say, God said this is your perfect, this is his perfect will for your life. I have to act shocked too. Is that not true? I have to act shocked. You know why? I saw a video somewhere. I think I saw like two or three other pastors did similar videos. They said they've learned in ministry not to be counseling people on who to marry or not to marry in the church. Because people have coconut. You know what they call coconut head? Coconut head. You know what it means? It's a figure of speech. For a head that is stubborn. Right? You can tell somebody in a clear term that this road is... Don't even do to the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will say, don't take this bus, take that car. Yeah? You will jump on the bus. Forever on my foot, the sole of my feet touch. Are we together? It's coconut head. It's stubbornness. Right? Yeah. But what am I saying? I'm saying... The truth is that when you get close to people, right, you find out and see lots of flaws. Yeah? You can get close to your pastor now. Maybe you just see your pastor eating. And that's something that needs to be worked on. Peradventure, he doesn't know or she does not know. It's something that needs to be worked on. You're married. You're married to that relationship till you find what will break you. Yeah? But I'm trying to say that. So I just use that as a very careless example. But I'm saying there are more intricate things you can find out. Now, let me say this clearly. This is not to say that pastors should not be acting anyhow because people know they can find things out. No. That I'm saying that people can find things out about pastors does not mean pastor does not have a decorum. You see, the pastor is supposed to be the number one example of a holy life. Is that correct? Yes, sir. A life of discipline. We can't trust you with a lady. We can't trust you with a man. Are we together? Right? If you ask you to go and visit somebody and a single lady, right? Somewhere in your mind, your pastor has to be on the mountain. And even with the prayer point that has been prayed, your pastor's prayer will not be answered. Are we together? Yeah, but you are a leader. Yeah, so it means there will be a certain level of expectation for those who are leaders, for those who are pastors. But I'm saying it is not your place to be putting that level of expectation. I just found out that the people in our society who have the highest level of expectation are pastors particularly. Can you tell me any professional, any human, any, let me call it professional, any, what's the word? Any? Vocation, I say vocation. Any? Industry. Bible Cab was not becoming pastor. Bible Cab was not becoming a pastor. He will convert this pastor into industry. Hey! You know, this is how we identify people. This is my brother. I can say handkerchief. I say anointing oil. Right, because be careful. Right, what name can we call it, please, people of God? Okay, let's say field. Of office, let's say office. Yeah, okay, vocation office, anyone. Which other office do you think there's an ex? You know, somebody who is a pilot can do something today. Let a pastor do half of that thing today. He will trend. She will trend. Just let a pastor or a church leader. And you know the funny thing? I can tell you for free. More often than not, the people who castigate pastors are worse. Oh, you know them? Okay. You've heard of their story? You know? The people who castigate the most, more often than not, they are worse. Lest Jesus came and met people trying to stone a woman. He said, let he that has no sin cast the first stone. What happened? They all dropped. You see, we need that statement in some conversations. And they all dropped their stones and they moved on. Are we together? Right? So the more you keep looking into the lives of people, are we together? The more you see flaws. And the more you keep getting close, what do? You keep upping your game. You keep upping your game. Are we together? You keep upping your game. You keep increasing. You keep increasing. You keep increasing. You keep increasing. Are we together? Your honor game. Because it's very important. Look at Romans 12. Let's go to Romans 12 verse 1 to 8. I beseech you therefore. Look at verse 3 rather. Let's just for our time. Verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself, Romans 12, more highly than he ought to, but to think soberly, according as God hath what? Dealt to every man the measure of faith. Look at us all together. 1, 2, 3, go. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Verse 5. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another. Having verse 6, 1, 2, 3, go. Let's read verse 6 again together. 1, 2, 3, go. Having then gifts different according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Verse 7. Or what? Ministry. Let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching. What is Paul saying? We are all united together by one spirit. Your spirit of God in you is the spirit of God in him, is the spirit of God in me. But when it comes to offices, functionalities, we're not all the same. Are we together? We're not all the same. There are people who have been taxed with certain responsibilities, right? And in fact, you see, the way God designs this is more often than not, you'll find out that you might not operate in those levels that you see those people operating without honoring those gifts. Are we together? You'll find out that there's some things you will not just see. Are we together? Without honoring those gifts. So Paul is saying that, you see, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to, but to think soberly as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we've been many. So there's grace of salvation, is that correct? Yeah? And how many people have the grace of salvation? Every believer. All together. But let me tell you for free, you don't have to pay me. But there's something called grace for offices. Write it in your note, please. There are certain graces for offices. There are graces for functionalities. So in salvation, we all have the same privileges in Christ. But when it comes to ministry, our functionality will differ. They will differ. I'll give you an example of a man, you know, whose remembrance of it. So I think on 12th of March was remembrance of Archbishop Benson Idahosa's, you know, memorial and all of that. Right, I think 27 years thereabout. And see the impact that man made in a generation. He didn't live up to 60. And we still talk about, we will talk about that man for the next 100 plus years. Let me tell you for free. That man was graced for that. You see, even as a pastor, you have no right to go and be saying, what can he do I cannot do? For the greater is he in me. You see the grammar. The greater is he is in me, is me. Somebody who in his life in ministry, they record that. How many people were supposed to add him to the Bible? They recorded that this man raised over 20 dead. How many were raised in the Bible as dead? In the old Bible? How many record of dead do you know in the Bible? You know what I'm saying? Yeah? That is the man that he had a record of preaching in 130 nations before he died. Please, I beg you, we are not all equal. By the grace of God. And we're together. I told you about another man, Apostle Ababala. You know, until Pastor, he was teaching somewhere, and he made a statement. He said, at a point in his life, he started reading, you know, this book's called God's General. I have volume 1 and 2 in my house. So he said, he just started reading, but one day the Spirit of God just pricked him and said, but this book pays attention majorly to their flaws. I said, from then he stopped. And me, the moment I heard that, in my mind, I don't think of going back to read those books. This one, she served God, but she has 7 husbands. Catherine Kuhlman, not 7, I'm just exaggerating. Is that not correct? Yeah, they will say, this one, no, but this one. Yeah, this one, no, but this one. This one, no, he had 5 wives. This one had 3 wives. And you know, in all of those statements, it's working on your heart. Did you see how the authors of the New Testament books wrote about the patriarchs? None of them picked their flaws. See, if all we had was Matthew to Revelation, you will not know that Abraham was the man he was. You will know David was the man he was. You will know Moses was the man he was. I told you last week on Wednesday, Moses killed somebody. He didn't know CCTV cameras were watching him. One day, he wanted to go and buy bread. And all of a sudden, somebody started running away from him. And because of that run, what happened? He too ran. But guess what? No author, Jesus, none of the apostles speak their flaws. And when Pastor said that thing, he just instructed my heart. He was like, actually, Yes, I understand. You might read those books from the point of trying to know, put guardrails and know where not to and do all those things. But the truth is that more often than not, he also works your heart in a certain way that makes you feel, you know, I don't even know how to explain it. All together. So there is such a thing called the grace of God in the lives of particular people. I want to get that for specific causes. Altogether. So today we still call the man called John Knox. There's a man called John Knox who was, you know, have you ever heard of someone who prayed the prayer, "Give me Scotland or I die"? Yeah, is he, you know, his house where they say he lived in before he passed his Edinburgh Street there, just I think St. Giles, whatever, Royal Mile or somewhere like that, yeah? Altogether. See how that he was not the only pastor. You've heard of the likes of John Wesley. Is that correct? You've heard of the likes of John G. Lake. I think it was John G. Lake ahead who, you know, relocated with his family, about 13 of them, South Africa. Is that correct? Yeah, and he didn't know anybody there. He just got to the airport. And supernaturally, a woman was waiting for him at the airport. And said, "God said I should wait for you at the airport." They never met. No internet, no phone. Are we together? Right? I think he was the one that went to Oregon. And as he went to a city, and as long as they went to that city, for months in 2 years, it was recorded that nobody sold alcohol. Nobody sold alcohol. I think it was the same person who, there was a virus in South Africa at the time. And he said, they said this virus is killing people. He said, "Put the virus on my skin and put a lens. Is it microscope? Microscope, yeah? Microscope. And they were watching the virus dying right under the microscope. Are we together? And your own is to be on Twitter because you can afford accounts. That is free. All these men of God, don't tell me anything. All of them fake. Even you are fake. Jonathan, you are fake. Not you. Are we together? Right? So they are specific. Paul says there's a measure of faith. I beg you, when you see a ministry doing certain things, as long as it is of God, there's a grace for those things. Are we together? That's the truth. Yeah? There are some people who you will see, for instance, their messages will travel around the world. They will be in one small cocoon, one small cubicle. Are we together? The truth is, just understand what God has particularly called you to do to and for your generation. And stick, and don't compete with anybody. Are we together? Don't compete with anybody. Yeah, if you come and that's why me, I try to guard my heart. Yeah, when I start hearing someone say, you know, the music is the thing. You know, if you look at that church, look at this church. You know, this music thing. You know, pastor, you know, our music is just too dry and drabby and drag drabbler. Do you know what God asked me to sing? Is it you God called? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So as a person, you need to ensure you guard your heart as much as possible. Remember, we look at the story of Cornelius and Peter. What happened? Cornelius spoke highly of Peter to his folks. Is that correct? So that when Peter was coming, what happened? Cornelius and his team went to go and prostrate. Are we together? Right? Yeah. Now, what did Peter say? No. Stand up, for we are all what? Men. What did Cornelius not say? Why should we bow down for this one? Are we not all men? You need to know your place. Are we together? You need to know your place. You need to ensure you know your place. Yeah, you hear some people say Paul withstood Peter to the face. Is that correct? You know, it's in Galatians 2. But Paul was writing it to the Galatians. It says Peter behaved in a certain way. But the question is, where did Peter behave in that certain way? It was in the church that Paul had oversight over now, Antioch. See, when the Bible says, you know, where was Paul when Peter was winning 3,000 souls? Paul was still killing people. And Paul from nowhere came and started. Do you know your Christian faith? Yeah, thank God for we trying to even read Writings of the Prophet today. Your Christian faith, you cannot mention your Christian faith without a man of Paul, called Paul today. Yeah, almost on any subject matter, the first question that should come to a Christian mind, a believer's mind, is what did Paul say on this matter? Yes, sir. So that means Peter even recognized Paul. Say, even Paul withstood Peter. I can withstand anybody. No, it's not your place. Altogether, it's not your place. Let me show you an example that, you know, is very, very tricky. All right? So, let me say this to you. Control your anger and your appetite for anger. Please write that. I know why I said appetite for anger. But some people just like to be angry. Control your anger. Deal with that anger issue. See, a lot of times, people might hail you. Yes! Thank you for speaking up. Abi, thank you for speaking. Thank you for you've captured my heart. You've captured what I wanted to say. I couldn't have said it better with dishonest statement. Please, oh. You know, we've shown you there's something called consequence of dishonor by proxy. Altogether. Let me show you a quick example. 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. God is a loving God. But like we told you, when you read these examples, they're examples to show you who not to be. Who not to be. Look at 2 Kings. Things happen, no. But don't be scared. Just behave yourself. Look at 2 Kings chapter 2. Are you here? What verse did you go to? 19. And the men of the city said to Elisha, "Behold, I pray thee, the situation of the city is pleasant, as my lord seeth, but the water is not pleasant, and the ground is barren." Who is that? Elisha, right? What was happening? Right? They went to the city and they said, this city seems pleasant, but the water is not what? Can we say the water is contaminated? Okay, look at verse 9, verse 20. And he said, "Bring me a new cruse." Is that correct? "And put salt therein." And they brought it to him. What happens? Verse 21. And he went forth into the springs of the water and cast the salt in there and said, "Thus says the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren in the land." Can God's servants do that? Can somebody who is God's servant do that? Are we together? Right? Yeah. Remember what Jesus' mother said to the people at the party when Jesus was at the party in John 2. He said, "Whatever he says you should do, what do you do? Do it." What did Jesus say? "Go and gather, go and gather, go and gather." He said, "Listen to me, Mo." That's the same thing with Elisha. What did Elisha say? He says, "Go and get water, go and pour salt and give to me. Let me take you to the source." You know, there are men, right? God can destine to liberate a people. Are we together? There are men that God can destine to liberate the people. You know, we've heard a teaching about the Macedonians. How the Macedonians were praying, and they were actively praying, right? And in their prayer, what do we see? Paul, the answer of their prayer, to liberate the city, of the cities of Macedonia, which Philippians is the chief. Now, if you look at what happened in verse 22. Let's read verse 22 together. 1, 2, 3, go. So the 1, 2, 3, go, church. 1, 2, 3, go. "So the waters were healed unto this day, according to what? The sayings of Elisha, which he spoke." Did God want to heal their water? Who will God use? Man. Look at verse 23. 1, 2, 3, go. "And he went up from thence to Bethel, and as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city, and what? They mocked him, and said unto him, 'Go up,'" or what you can say, "get out of here, thou what? Bowed head, go up, thou bowed head." Almost like anthem. Are we together? Right? See, scholars have a lot of arguments here. Some people say the Greek word for bowed is not bowed. The Hebrew word, I don't argue with you. Some people say the little children there is not little as per small children. Yeah, I don't want to understand. The question is, what is the lesson? Let's read verse 24 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And who turned back? Elisha. So the words of Elisha, they carry power. The words of believers carry power. Okay, beautiful. Yeah. So, and Elisha, what happened? He turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there what? Came forth 2 she-bears out of the woods and tore 42 children of them. How many children did he hear? 42. Is there a tendency that it's not all the 42 that mocked Elisha? Is there a tendency? Association. When you see dishonor, what do you do? Separate yourself. Stay away. It could be that the bear they will ask to come and destroy your friends. You can't run faster than it. And the man, Elisha, might not give definite instruction. He might not say, "Bear, destroy those who dishonor." Are you with me? Because now there's a tendency that 42 of them are friends, you know, maybe all of them are together in their dishonor. But you cannot take away the fact 42 is a large number. There might be a tendency as well that there might be one home-trained person, but he's trying to do peer pressure. You understand now? Is that not what happened to us in school? I remember one of my friends. Something happened in school a few years ago, right? You know, and this guy, when things were happening in school, people were vandalizing and everything. He was in my room. So in school, because of how social I was very close to every kind of human being. So I didn't have any sense of discrimination. I was only a church person alone. I was a church person alone, but I wasn't close to church people alone, after all, because people in my class are not church people. Is that not correct? They're not everybody are Christians. But there was this guy who, if you call top five guys in the school, his name must be there. Out of 10,000 students, so. And guess what? He was in my room when people were vandalizing, scattering and everything. He was in my bed. He was sitting on my bed. You know, and he just looked through the window. And that, you know, he wants to just go and see. Is that see that made him not graduate with our set? He graduated probably 4 or 5 years after my set. That see. I said, okay, you can see through the window. I have 2 windows. One face south, one face north. Check here. Come back and check here. He said, no. He went outside. As soon as, because people already knew him, people thought that he was the one initiating. He was in my, when they destroyed most of what they destroyed in the school, he was in my room. I can tell you his name and his surname. And as soon as he just stepped out to see, you know, that sometimes just your stepping out to see, they will just cut. He stepped out and they nabbed him. And they said he was the gang leader. They took him to the founder of our school. They expelled all of them. Guess what? They expelled 15 people. Among the 15 people, if that guy was not there, I know that there were some of them who they expelled that were not there as well. What am I saying? There are some associations you need to be careful about. I beg you. Some associations you need to be careful about. So what you should pick from this story is that dishonor is costly. Altogether. Dishonor is costly. Altogether. Yeah? Let me also say this today. Honor never forgets. Please write it in your notes. Honor never forgets. Honor never forgets. Honor never forgets. Human beings have a tendency of prioritizing their emphasis on the one bad that people do to them. And they use that to clear the entire slate of the good they've done to you. That's why you see in marriage, one of the things you need to learn in marriage, I'm learning in marriage as well, is when your partner does something to you, stop using the statement, you always. Do you understand what I'm saying? You always. Stop using that statement, you always. A lot of times, it's not always. Always means always. When you find out, you realize that for you to still be alive, that means the person you are with, they are good outweighs their bad. How together? Yeah, you always come back late. You forget the day he came back at 5 or she came back at 6. You always. You can use it to erase every good thing. Honor never forgets. You see, one of the things I'm learning to do is to ensure that no matter what happens, right? Yeah, relationships I have had in the past, I don't forget the good. Yeah, that's why you almost find it impossible for you to catch me going around to be telling people stories and tales and stories and tales. You don't find me doing that. Yeah, if for any reason I would do it, it will be to point someone's attention to an example. And more often, more often than not, you'll find out that the exact details of who is involved, you will not know. Are we together? Yes, you see, there's something called not forgetting the people who have been a blessing to you. Your pastor, for instance, might be a blessing to you. Your leaders might be a blessing to you. Or, you know, people generally can be a blessing to you. And all of a sudden, maybe your pastor just talks to you in a certain way you don't like. Right? Or your pastor just does something you think he should have done better. You know, don't allow that emotions you have at that point to make you forget all the good. Human nature has a tendency of doing that. That's why you see friendships of 20 years breaking. See, you can't be friends with someone for 20 years. I'm talking about active friends, and they are bad is more than they are good for 20 years. It's not possible. It's devil you are with. Even devils sometimes will do good. You can't be with someone for 20 years. Now, I'm not saying, friendships, people have grown friendships. You need to understand what I'm trying to say, right? People have grown friendships. There are people who, in your life today, they are in your life for a season. You must understand it. Yeah? If one of the things I'm learning to understand right now is, I remember, you've heard me talk about people who I used to wish birthday for years. Can you imagine somebody who I wish birthday for 7 years, and the 8th year, late last year, I didn't wish. The person had to message me, you've not prayed for me this year. That one shocked me. People will shock you. I've been waiting for your prayers this morning. You know what I said? I said there are people who 7 to 10, some 12 years, have wished them a happy birthday for Easter every single year. They've never wished me a happy birthday. That's how selfish humans can be. And you've got to live with that. Or else you will learn. And you might learn the... Sister JT kept quiet intentionally. She opened her mouth. She said, Pastor will catch me. She said, you will learn, and you will learn what? The godly way. The people I pastor, I'm learning too. And I'm learning the hard way. Are we together? Right? You see, people can be different. But don't forget. Oh, I can never forget the past good. I don't forget it. Yeah, I don't forget it. Maybe because I'm somebody who grew in a life or with a lifestyle of always being the one doing good and all of that and going out of the way severally. But I don't forget it. Right? I don't forget it. Also live that kind of life. Don't forget that this person did something. I remember I was talking with someone recently. The person was telling me, no, you should get out. But there were days where you could not sleep and this person was there for you and you slept. Together. There were days you were looking for where to pour your heart or who to pour your heart to or on. And what happened? They were there for you. Honor never forgets. True honor never forgets. How together? If you are here today, for some reason you had a former local church, and you left dishonorably or you left, people that even live dishonorably, they don't admit they live dishonorably. Yeah, so let me say in a different way. You left in a way that you think... just finish the sentence. Don't forget the nights that you will not sleep, and it's your pastor you will call. All together. Don't forget the days where you will say they are pursuing your dream. Do you know how many times I get calls in the middle of night? Pastor, they just chase me. And sometimes when you see some calls at some hours, you'll just be like, What's happening? Pastor, they just really chase me now. And they chase you so that your heart is beating in real life. And there are so many things. Oh, gracious Father, so many. The things my ears, they hear. In fact, a lot of times, I don't even bring them to my wife's ear because it can be a burden. It can be a burden, no? As somebody who was there for you. Are we together? Somebody who was there for you. You organized wedding. Yeah? Church member sent two people. You say it's the only two that is in the whole church. But you forgot the church where the whole offering in that church is 5,000 naira or 100 pounds, and the church gave you 200 pounds. And since you joined that church, all your offering together is not to 200. Let's assume they are paying you back. You say, no. Why would they? I remember a brother. There's a brother who I just had to pacify Saturday. I just pacified him because he's been a very considerate brother over the years. One way or the other, he forgot the meeting dates of one of our meetings, and he fixed his wedding on that date. And I called him, I said, bro, let me just prepare your mind ahead, though. Nobody's coming for this wedding. I didn't say that way, obviously. But I told him, I said, let me tell you, your family might tell you some things that your church does not care, but don't forget the things that your church has done for you. I told him when he called, my mom was there on Saturday. On Saturday. Sorry, I've had so many days gone by so quick. On Friday, I said, Chi, this date is a date for in Christ's head, right? And interestingly, we are switching. Is that correct? No? Yeah? But ideally, nobody will leave in Christ's head for that wedding. No, we won't close church service to go and do it. No, we won't do that. But I said, be careful. People can make that. You see what I just said to him can make him leave God's palace. He's been in church probably 6-7 years in Nigeria. Why am I saying these things to you? See, the things that happen, I'm trying to be very practical with you. 7 years of being in the church and your wedding day. I just have to tell you, it's just a wedding day. We will rejoice with you. We'll probably do a video call with you and celebrate with you. But no member will be able to leave for this event. It's hard, ba. It's hard. That's why when you are doing things, if you want your church to be involved, carry your pastor along. Pastor, this is the date we are proposing. You see, you should be man enough. I understand family dynamics can be different. Do you understand? But let it be that when it gets to that point where your family has to have a say on certain days you will do certain things, it is that everybody's hand is tight. Let your pastor know. You have found somebody you are marrying in December. Don't come December 12th and say, Pastor, I'm marrying December 12th. Not even 12th, sorry, 13th. And you're telling me December 12th. I can't run miracle. Yeah, you should be able to tell Pastor, this is what I'm looking at. Give your church, give your pastor 5 months. So pastor can go back to Canada and say, that date in Christ's date. So in case, if you have to have that wedding that day, we won't close church because we want to do a canal celebration. What is wedding? Yes, and that's the truth. What's wedding? We have people who they dance their sorrow on the wedding ground and they collected it at the door. They divorced at the door. Is that not, you carry the sorrow, you dance the way now? At the door. You've not heard stories. Are we together? I'm not saying wedding, if you want to have a wedding and put your banner on the roof, that's your own. Yeah? But don't kill yourself over that matter. And even we too as a church will not kill ourselves over that matter. What am I saying these stories? Somebody can do something to you and you will just forget. Honor never forgets. Hi. Honor never forgets. Honor never forgets. Are we together? Yeah? There's some of my friends, right? Who I have a friend who is sitting here. She's just sitting at the back there. Right? When my dad passed, you know how we say it, right? That there was this lady who was just so innocent and she was just so caring. And, she, you know, one day she just called me and said, you know, I want to take you out for lunch and everything just so you can talk. I cannot forget, you went to Chaco. If you've heard me say that story, she's laughing. Every time I tell her, she's always like, but it's nothing. In my mind, I know what it meant to me 7 years ago. There's nothing she would do to me. And I say, what is this? Are you the only one that is friend? A friend with the word is a friend with Christ. Sometimes some of those motivation quotes will now fit your nonsense. Don't forget the good. If you're in a marriage, I'm speaking to a couple today. Let me speak to a couple today. Actually, I'm speaking to a couple, right? You see, don't allow the pressure of those seemingly not too good things outweigh the good things in your marriage. I beg you. Very important. Very important. Oh, you see, there's a Yoruba proverb that says, "Is somebody that cannot sit down to think that cannot think." I don't know if I said it very well. I'm not so used to it, yeah? But if you cannot sit down to think, you cannot be thankful for something. That's why when you are in the church, they say, lift your hands and give God all the praise. What are we praising him for? What are we praising him for? You do my job, but you don't do my job. You see, you're paying attention to that, to one thing that seems to be, you're forgetting the so many. Do you know there are some sicknesses people go through and they don't recover from it? There are people who have died from what you call headache. Are we together? Yeah? So, please, I beg you. In the coming days, let me give this church, this local church, an assignment today. This week, go back and go and think of the people who have been a blessing to your life. And go and thank them. Just send them a thank you message. Yeah. If I get a list, write it down. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. You're not trying to bribe your way to more things. Just be very appreciative. There's no year, or almost no year, that I don't say thank you to that, my dear sister, on her birthday for that thing. And then the same thing she gives, to her, she didn't even see that something that was weak. But to me, it was like me that is always there for people. On days for me, for instance, on days on my own time and everything, I have to now be the one to be there for myself. More often than not. Yeah? You can build that culture of thanksgiving. You know, you can actually have a practice. It's part of honor I'm teaching you. You can have a practice or a reminder on your phone, maybe once a quarter or once a year, right? Or towards the end of the year. Yeah? Some of you have pastored you for 4 years, 5 years, some of you 6 years, some of you 2 years. Yeah? You've never at the end of the year said, thank you for blessing me this year. You know, I said, Pastor, the message you spoke today, that's, you know, honor never forgets. Honor is also appreciative. Pastor, you made my ear. Pastor, when they want to ask who made your ear, you go and be calling somebody that does not know your name. Meanwhile, the deeds that the pastor knew went through, This it's a culture you should have. It's a practice you should have. I do it to my bosses at work. Eh? I use thank you to almost finish one of my manager last year. Thank you for modeling this. Thank you. And I'm not joking. No, she doesn't have a right to. She doesn't. In my office, we don't do promotion by association. By what? Competence. You don't do promotion by you get better. Is there a job opening? You apply. If they deem you fit, you are good. So there's nothing I need from that lady. I'm not trying to make her feel the need to put. No, I would think towards the end of the year there are people that made my year at my work. Are we together? Yeah. I do it to God's Palace members as well. Eh? And I decided that I'm thanking everybody. I'm the one shouting, you know. Should we pray for utterance and boldness? Is that not correct? Uh-huh. I'm the one shouting. I'm still the one thanking you for listening. Build that practice. Some of you, if you have contact with some of your former local church pastors who were blessings to you, you know, once in a while, just go back there. You know, the chaplain of my school, you know, he called me. Truth is, let's not go into that. You know, but every year, I try to ensure at least 3 times a year, thank you for your impact in my life. It's part of honor. All together. It's part of honor. And also, the truth is that the things you speak well about, it helps your heart not to receive the lies of the devil. Let me say it differently. You know, if you speak well about somebody, right, more often than not, you will not be able to stand before that person saying terrible things about the person you spoke well of. You know what I'm trying to say? If I speak well of Sister Ebuka, yeah, Ebuka, it will be difficult for him to come. Let me say, people can, you know, like I said, you know, you will learn, and you will learn godly way. People are still there, but Ebuka should find it difficult. Right? When it comes to your leaders and spiritual leaders and pastors, for instance, yeah, let it be difficult for someone to talk against your pastor when you are there. Some of you, you talk about your pastor, you say, I never knew that that man was like that too. See, the devil plays a long game. Some of you, they will talk about your pastor in negative forms and you'll be blushing. Do you understand? I've told you, you don't try it. I'm more grown now. I've gotten to a stage in my life where you can't try it. They are not giving birth to you well. No matter who, you can't try it. I told you, 7 years ago, and I heard all manners of, hey, you know, this is that. And I caught the people I could cut straight, But those that I could not cut straight because of, in quote, honor. I was being stupid, though. Look at it now. Somebody is destroying my pastor. And because of honor for you, I should listen to you. I'm crazy. I found out later. But what I used to do those time was, anytime you speak about my pastor around me, the first thing I go and do, if I cannot correct you, I say, don't do it again. Right? Yeah, there's somebody who all of you know. All of you know him. We sat in front of his house, sitting fufu. You know him. If I mention his name, you know him. You sing his song yourself. From that moment, I knew my pattern and his pattern cannot go together. I couldn't say to him then, like I say to him now. So what was my punishment after that meeting? What I usually do is I go and take a series of pastor, not series of 2 tracks, so series of 8 to 10 tracks. Sometimes 15 tracks, and go and start listening. That's my punishment. Listen, take note, digest. That's why I'm still where I am today. There are those, you come and say, don't see, in your life, don't talk about Pastor Shevon like, in your life, if you want to live long, you know, sometimes you need to call some people some kind of warning. If you want to live long, don't. What is that doing for my heart? Is to keep me. That is why this is 2025. See, I am still very excited about hosting him. You know, there are some people who also heard the same things I heard and they started withdrawing. If people start withdrawing from your life because of the things they heard about you that a lot of times are not true, how will you feel? How will you feel? Yeah, so let that practice of honor be something you have in your heart. Yeah, let that practice of honor. You know, spiritual relationships are very important. Some of you, for your leader, you know, if you are standing in front of your pastor, right, and your CEO call, I mean, if you're standing in front of the CEO and your pastor call, you just do, boom, send message. Text me. You're laughing. But if you're standing in front of a CEO, what do you do? Pastor, please, excuse me, let me quickly pick this call. It's emergency. I didn't know what I said. It's emergency. I don't know. They may need me at work. But if it's your pastor, send text. In fact, some of you can't even know how to have a patient. You say, please, can you text me? I'll call you. Let me tell you something. There's nothing wrong, are we together, right, in being at work, right? And any of your leaders or pastors should text you. And you actually keep that to when you are done. But there's also a thing called apologizing for delaying, one. Also, so a thing called typing a message to communicate that on the spot, too. Yeah? Me, no matter the meeting I am in, I don't allow my pastor's message to spend more than 5 minutes on my phone without responding, no matter who I'm with. Doesn't happen. Mind you, that is how I have chosen. I'm not saying you come and reply me every 5 minutes, so you just be putting your phone, and that's what I'm saying, no. Now put your phone and say, this man, I must reply him. When he messaged me, I must reply. That's what I'm saying. But you know, there's a thing called having that sense of regard. Praise God forevermore. Let's look at honor in Jesus' ministry today. Look at Mark 6. Don't forget, we looked at a teaching on Wednesday around servants and masters. Is that correct?
Yes,
sir. Is that, did we talk about your workplace?
Yes, sir.
How to respond to your workplace?
Yes, sir.
Did we also talk about how as a master, you are to have a heart of service?
Yes, sir.
Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah? So a master must have a heart of service. So your if you're a master, don't be one who is lording over people. Have you seen how, for instance, in God's palace, we have an example of there is nothing I ask you to do I don't do. Nothing. Is it to lift your hands over and singing? What am I doing? Because of my heart of sin. Is it to come early to church? There's nothing. Is it to give? There's nothing. In those examples is where my authority as a pastor finds more solid ground. Are you with me? Very important. Right? So no matter who you are leading or ruling, please, I beg you in God's name, just ensure you stay with a heart of honor. Let's look at what honor can do. Look at Mark 6. So the same way you can lose certain things because of dishonor, or get certain things because of dishonor, you can also get certain things because of honor. Look at Mark 6. Are you in Mark 6? Look at verse 1 to 7. Let's quickly read. And he went out from thence and came into his own country. Is that Jesus? And disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence had this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Verse 3, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of what? James and Joseph and Judah and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. Verse 4. But Jesus said unto him, a prophet is not without what? Honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. Do you remember I said this about my dad's ministry? Is that correct? Remember that? Yeah? That people that benefited more, people that were outside. Beautiful, right? So, look at verse 5. So what am I saying? It wasn't unique to him. Are you here? It wasn't unique to my dad. It didn't happen to Jesus. If it can happen to Jesus, it can happen to what? Anybody. Together. So he now says, and he could do no mighty works, save that he laid hands upon a few folks and healed them. And he marveled because of their what? Unbelief. He marveled because of their unbelief. Are we together? Right? And he went round from about village teaching, and he called unto him the 12 and began to send them for 2 by 2 and give them power over unclean spirit. Now, what do you see here? Do you see that Jesus could not do so much in the midst of dishonor? Are we here? But do you see that Jesus did something in the midst of dishonor? What did he do? The Bible says that he only laid hands on a few folks. So it means that for him to have laid hands on a few folks, those people were honorable enough to at least bring their body to be laid hands on. So it means in the midst of gross dishonor, it might affect everybody, but there can be some few who will not allow their heart. Like Moses. Moses had a camp of dishonorable people who murmured and did all manner of things against him. But there was a man called Joshua. Remember the story of Joshua and Caleb? Right? And in the midst of the sonor, they chose to be honoring people. So Jesus went to his hometown. They said, where is this guy? Is he not the carpenter's son? He's not the carpenter. Can anything good come out? He's shouting. He's jumping. He's gyrating. And what happened? Bible says that what? So what did Jesus attribute it to? He says they were full of unbelief. So full of unbelief can be or will be a product of his sorrow. Are we together? Yeah, it was as though Jesus could not do mighty things in the midst of this honor. That is why when pastor is coming, for instance, please, I want us to ensure we give our hearts in all to be honorable. Let me tell you, have you seen a video of a man who said he was preaching and phones rang and he walked out of the place? You've seen those videos, right? Some of them, some of you have said, some people send it to me, right? And asking me questions. What is the question? What is the question? Read the question, just ask and answer it. Altogether, see, an atmosphere can be, atmospheres can be charged. And atmospheres can be discharged. Altogether. Yeah? It can be charged, it can be discharged. Will people take things abstract, extreme? Yes, no. But don't forget, don't use one extreme to tackle another extreme. Altogether. We have scriptures in 2 Chronicles that says that the glory of God filled the house and no one could stand to minister. That means atmospheres can carry. Are we together? Right? So, that is why, you know, when you find, some ministers go to a place and they just struggle to minister. A lot of times, it's because dishonor. You see, let me say differently. You know, you can choose not to be honorable. And in your choosing not to be honorable, you didn't choose to be dishonorable, but you are dishonorable. Are we together? Yeah, your goal was not to. You know what I'm trying to say? Yeah, your goal was not necessarily to be that. You didn't have it in mind. So you see some pastors go to some churches and they operate. I'm using that word loosely. And they go to certain places, right? And they want to say, who is? Thank you, Jesus. They'll come back. Who is for 3 days crusade? All together, right? So why do we pray the way? You know, we've been praying for this community for how many months now? Since June. We've been praying for this meeting. Some of us, we've been praying for it since June. Some of you, and the church got introduced to it a couple months, maybe a month or two after that. Right? Yeah. So why are we doing it? To get our heart in the best place. And that's why when you are praying those prayers, you pray well. There's a way you will pray. It sets your heart by default. When you get to that meeting, even if the devil comes to you, there is nothing that can change your mind from having a posture of honor to receive. You will just be there. You'll be quiet. You've prayed yourself. Another way, you see, what people do, let me not say this. This would be careless of me. Let me leave this. Right? But you need to ensure that you give your heart, your all to ensure to receive. Now, look at Mark 6. So Jesus will go to a people and they will reject him. Let's go to Mark 4. Or Mark 5. Let's look at Mark 5 because of time. Mark 5:22. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his what? At his what? Are you Mark 5? He fell at his feet. Yeah? And besought him greatly, saying, now, what is fall at his feet? Worship. You know, when people do it today in our world, they say hero worship. Please, what is this? Hero worship. So we read it twice, that people want to receive God's servants, and they express by falling. Remember that now, Peter, Cornelius, this is Jesus. Are we together? So if you look at the local church receiving a pastor and how they decide to receive the pastor is by kneeling down for the pastor to walk. What is your business in that video? Nothing. Are you here? If you, in your church, if instead of even bending down, you push the head backwards so that you are farther than bending down. Happy are you? Let me tell you something. Pastor Shego will not minister as much as he would in times of refreshing if you don't honor him. Are we here? That's the truth. Not because he might not want to. What might eventually happen, God forbid that a pastor in church, that what happens when he comes is that he heals a few folks. No. That's why he's been talking like this. You had better stay at home. You get it? Don't come and spoil the one you don't. Give, you will not give. Don't, you, know, you will not want to give. You will not see, attend the prayer. You will stay at home. You know what? See, you know somebody's posture can poison people's posture. It can poison people's posture. Remember, there was a lady who was here. You know, and for some reasons, you know, dishonor just got into the way. Amen. As somebody who will be very fervent in prayer, who will pray, will just sit down and cross leg. Do you understand? And you're like, how did we get from here? How did we? Yeah? You see, that's why you see some pastors. I remember I was watching a video. You see, a pastor was saying he walked two people out of his church. He said, today, not you. Today, come. He took them to the door. He said, you see, you know, what, never in your life, even if it's for a miracle, don't return here. Why? They were like Abiram. That's why a pastor needs to identify the Abiram, Dothans, and the Korah. Yeah, before they contaminate 250. I'm learning it the hard way. You will learn the godly way. Yeah? I'm learning the hard way. Yeah, two people can be in a camp, and you'll be shocked at the influence they have over other people. That's what happened to Absalom. You finish all this. You don't honor a man again. Just go far. Don't stay in the camp and be recruiting people to the point Absalom now recruited Ahithophel, the counsel of David. Guess what? He got close to David. He saw David's flaws. If Ahithophel was not close to David, he would not have known that David killed his granddaughter. You got the point now? Yeah. Remember, I just said the story on Netflix last week. Now remember, I said I was just saying like Netflix. Uzziah, Bathsheba. Yeah. The record shows that that was his in-law, whatever story it is. But he could only have access to that information because of closeness. And he stayed in the camp. And one man, Absalom, came. And he said, let me tell you how to deal with this man. So as a local church pastor, you know, I was telling you of one man who my dad would sweat and labor, preach for 2 hours, 3 hours in church. And they would go and do 7 hours in his house eating eba and pounded yam. My dad had to reach out to one of his spiritual mentors then. I can't even call his name. But let me save him. He said that kind of person should not be around. Tell him to get out of the church. I wasn't in church the day it happened. The day it happened, that same brother, he was fixing lights that spoiled in the church. He was fixing lights. Is that not true service? Out of service. My dad just called him and said, brother, come. And it was his relative. He said, come, say, today, me and you are pastors on cross again. Go and look for your pastor. Go and start your church. Let me tell you what happened. When my dad did that, more than half, are you here? More than half of the church members left with him. More than half. Under my watch. Just know how you are just in church. Imagine us like this now. We are just in church. And just next week like this, we are still two or three. Just what I'm trying to say. And you now realize that everybody went on account of that man. That's why I told you, it cannot happen under my watch. We will keep. That's why I told you. Yeah, if somebody invites you for a cell meeting that is not of God's palace and this is your church, come and tell me. No, you just shoot with Ebuka. You remember Wednesday? Shoot with Ebuka. Yeah, you know, Pastor, we just come. Now, let me tell you something. Will there be people who want to do those things and I will give approval? Yes, I'm not saying I'm going to cancel it though. But you are dishonorable when you start a cell with members you met in God's palace. Even if you do not meet them in God's palace, they are members of God's palace. And say you have a cell in your house. We're just fellowshipping around the world. That's how that man did. He packed more than half of my dad's sweat. Imagine my dad left him for another 2 years. Maybe as well, just go to church. Only know me. You know, we just think that everywhere should be full. She's like, I'll carry chair, I'll carry table. We just arrange everything. We just fellowship. Those things happen, no? I went together. Those things happen. So keep your heart in check. If you want to do ministry, you have neighbors that don't go to church. You didn't see them as souls to win. If the one somebody is sweating over in another good church, you think you want to pastor. All together. You know, you must have a heart of, you know, unity as a church, simplicity as a church, togetherness as a church. Yeah? So what is that saying? The man Jairus, he saw him and fell at his feet. And what did he say to Jesus? Look at verse 23, Mark 5:23. My little daughter lieth at the point of what? Okay. And besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her. She may be healed. And she shall what? Live. And Jesus went to him. Why do you think Jesus will leave his schedule to go to that kind of man's house? Honor was expressed. Look at it though. So don't join the bandwagon of people that say honor is a thing of the heart. It is both a heart and a act. Honor is a heart and a act. All together. Right? So Jesus went there and he said, and much people followed him and thronged him. Look at verse 25. Look at it. He was going to go and heal somebody who honored him. Say another woman who honored him. Verse 25. And said the woman, which had an issue of blood for how many years? 12 years. And had suffered many things of many physicians. And had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather what? Grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, what did she do? She came in and prayed. So did she hear of Jesus? Were there news of Jesus that were bad? Are we here since? Yeah. Do you think CNN carried some news of Jesus that were not entirely good? Yes, now. But guess what she heard? How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who went about doing good, healing all. Yeah. So she chose to hear that. And when she saw, oh, this is the Jesus. What did she say? Look at it now. It says, when she heard that Jesus came in, she pressed before and touched his garment. What did she say? For she said, see, that what she said is something she was doing before and during Jesus was passing. When Jesus was passing. Look at it now. For she said, I may touch but his clothes. Look at it. For her to see Jesus, it's not at that point she'll be thinking, let me touch him. She probably has a mindset of, this man, remember, she has been hearing. And she probably be, if she's been hearing, it means she probably would have been saying, the day Jesus is going to walk here, I'm not going to remain the same. The day that this man is going to walk here, I'm not going to. And the Bible says, she was saying, and she kept saying, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Listen to what happened here. And straight away, what happened? The fountain, are you in the Bibles? The fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Listen to what Jesus said. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue, in this scripture they used to use and pray for men of God, virtue has gone out of him. Let's point our hands. You see, he knew that virtue had gone out of him. He turned him about and said in the prayer, said, who touched my clothes? Disciples said unto him, Abi, this man is something. You know, Jesus' disciples were getting over familiar with him too. What will make Peter carry Jesus and say, sit down here? I rebuke the spirit of fear over your life. Yes, sir. Jesus said, I have to die and resurrect in 3 days. Peter said, God forbid, over your dead body. he pushes for more over my dead body. It's over your dead body. You shall not die but live to the goodness of God in the land of living. You can only do that thing to the person who you are already getting familiar, slightly over from familiar with. That is why when Jesus said, you will deny me 3 times, it is his state of heart in over familiarity to an extent that made him not to see it as a heavy word. You know what it is for someone to say you will deny somebody 3 times and you did before cockrow? Your denial is intense. This is what imagine I say you will fall down between here and downstairs 3 times before you reach the ground floor. And you fall. And you come and share testimony. Yeah? What will you do? Is that not true? You'll be walking with a mindset. So, if disciples saw Jesus, so Jesus was just walking, Jesus just said, something left me. Bros Peter, are we together? He just said, what is happening here now? Can't you see the number of people who are here and you are saying who touched you? What do you mean by that? What did Jesus say? He says, and the disciples said unto him, thou seest multitude thronging thee, and said, who touched me? Right, that's the King James version of putting it lightly. Let's read the two together. 1, 2, 3, go. And looked around, about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. That means she went to narrate it. Said, I was expecting your meeting, and I took out days to pray before your meeting. And I said to myself, right, I give an example of one of the meetings. Right, when I went for Christ Camp meeting, I was just praying. And I saw in a vision the pastor wore a green cloth to lay hands. You've heard me say that several, right? Right? And so every meeting I'll go there, I'll go early as usual, pray. The meeting the pastor just walked in. You see, when pastor walks into Christ Camp meeting, the atmosphere changes. Oh my goodness. I'm taking Nigerian church to go have an experience. It just changes. You know, when pastor walks in, you can be praying and you will just know when he's walking in. That man carry on. That bet you must leave him. Bet you must. That's why I'm preparing your heart. Bet you must leave. You know, and I was just praying. I just opened my eye. I just saw somebody walking, green. And I just come back and I said, this is my meeting. So I was in a meeting, but I had a meeting. I said, this is my meeting. So Pastor came into church and he said, there's somebody who is here who has been wanting me to lay hands. And he said, you're wanting me to lay hands on you in this meeting. Come out. You know, and when Pastor said that kind of thing, I know you're joking. You know, you see redeem when Pastor Adeboye say if you're born again, he say come out. I count 30. You'll be strolling. You they just snatch from devil's hand. But you're supposed to tear race to the front. You are still doing catwalk. I was together. And he just said, come out, and he came out and lay. I still have a picture of that today. Right? And the word he said to me, I'm still running with them today. Jesus said, who touched me? That means there's a way you can honor someone, and the man will know you touched him, and he will know. He say, So I want pastor to come here, right, and say, these people, you people, we drag you people. Your virtue. You people need to pray to reformat the virtue. Are we together? Are we together? Very important. Why am I training you? So it's not be they not training you. Don't embarrass yourself. If you come to that, if you come to that meeting and your life remains the same, it's your fault. See, I'm shouting. It's your fault. I was together. Yeah. When they pray for you, and you know me, I'm still a young pastor. When I pray for you, just say amen. I beg you, use all your heart to receive. It is a privilege to have him in our midst. Use everything in your heart. What I'm saying, I'll just say it again. I was together. Say, so, you know me, I say, who is Elizabeth? These people will still be using me to shine here. Okay. You see? You see? Before you come for that meeting, go and refresh your go and reprogram your mind to remind yourself of family members. I still use 5 minutes, say, who is Elizabeth? You will still be looking. Remember. Yeah? Sometimes, sometimes I remember one brother. They call for one name. You already jump out. Why did they say whose name is this? He did not remember. So he did not even know. Just like say, I can't remember who the name was. You know, it's just like they say, is your name Elizabeth? Yeah. A man, imagine they say his brand, a man is running to the front. They say, oh, sorry. It sounds funny, but that is a man who wants to take virtue. You can imagine how funny it might have been. You say, who is Elizabeth? Yeah, one brother just starts walking to the front. Elizabeth, are you Elizabeth? Sorry, it's not me. Some people do it. Somebody did it. So pastor does it a lot of times, right? He will be teaching, right? And somebody will just leave the front, come and kneel down. Sometimes it causes distraction. Sometimes he will first say, stay where you are, everybody. And he will lay hands on the person and continue teaching. What did that person do? I'm not saying come and scatter the old service. So. Are we here? I'm not saying come and scatter the old service. So. I'm giving you expo. No thanks. No thanks with many thanks. What am I saying to you? Please, be at alert. If they say, who is Joe? Either it is Joseph, just first be there first. People receive from this approach, my people. People receive. I remember one, they say, who has headache? It was a leg issue. How the head, the leg, I don't know. But the person went there, laid hands and still received their healing. Honor can get to. He can't know. I tell you for free. He can't. There are meetings. Imagine the meeting that would have allowed the woman with issue of blood to get healed, and she did not honor as much that meeting. Our story would remain the same. The woman with the what? The issue of blood. All together. So we need to ensure that we keep honor in our heart. So Jesus has taught that relatives, when you are related, that is when you are relating with someone, you can be physical relatives, you can be church relatives, but in short, that's why even in believers meeting. When you are in a group with your senses to speak what God is saying is to express your partner. No, you see, you should be in a home. I remember, you know, see, severally in my home,
right? Let me say, in the last 1 year plus, yeah, every time I've had a sickness or anything, the person who gives me healed is my wife. And I'm not saying sometimes, but every time. I remember 2 weeks ago, I sprained my neck, right? I know what she said. And come, let me lay hands on you. You know, I could have said, which one is come? I thought you know, and she was on the side of the bed, you know, and I went there, she laid hands on me, and I went back, and from then to today, it's only now I'm even remembering that I had a sprained neck. Something went to my eye and scarred my eye. Some of you knew from weekend. I was only lasting 2 days. Right, I went outside, one carton. Imagine your eyes, a carton scratch your eye. Is that correct? It happened in the afternoon, and then you know, ideally, there should be residual redness that will last for days. And she just laid hands on me. You know, you need to have those kind of heart to receive from your partners. I say, where did this one start? Well, don't forget, the most important relationship between you and anybody in this world is your spiritual relationship, not your material, not your marital. Sorry. It's your spiritual relationship. It's your spiritual relationship. That's the most important. You prioritize that. You prioritize that. Because there's every tendency that when you are getting to relate more with people, particularly people who are God's spirit, which can be any believer, you begin to allow for familiarity to come in. So some of you, sometimes you're waiting to be healed in the church, and there's somebody in your home that can get you healed. But you don't attempt it. You're waiting to get to the church. Mm-hmm. When that type of believers, you be trying to run away from your group that your partner is in, just so that you can be able to minister for somebody else. God's going to let us be fresh. Are we together? You just try to disappear. You just realize, this is my partner. I mean, that time, when you know it's believers, do something, you first go out. So that when you call me, once you just step in, you are alive. That's my partner is there. You come to this one. And the pastor says, go and stay here. You not see me there? Are we together? What am I saying to you? Please, I beg you, let honor be your watchword for your life. Let it be a watchword for your life. You know, we've talked to you separately. It doesn't have to be, it's not, I'm not doing this series alone for pastor local church. It's everywhere. Let's look at two examples before we close today. Look at Luke 4 verse 18. Luke 4 18. Let's close on Luke 4 18 today. And then, Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord. He ascended to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the crying of sight to the blind, and set them liberty. Set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the assembly of the Lord. And he closed the book and he gave to them. And so the one now says, and he began to say unto them, this be the scripture fulfilled. Look at 23. Ye will surely see unto me this proverb, physicians heal themselves. Whatsoever we have heard in Capernaum, do also here in the country. Verily I say to you, no prophet is accepted what? In his own. Is that what we read as well in Mark? Yes, Jesus said it as well. So Jesus said it separately. So Jesus did not say it by mistake in Mark 4, in Mark 6. It was a known fact that more often than not, a prophet is without honor in his home. Are we together? Very important. Right? So he now says, verse 25, but I tell you of the truth, many widows were in what? Israel, in the days of who? Elijah. When the heaven was shut up for 3 years and 6 months. When great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them was Elijah sent, except who? The Zarephath, a city in Sidon. Unto a woman, you know the one we call the woman of Zarephath, is that correct? And unto a woman that had a what? That was a what? Sorry, widow. Now look at 27. How many lepers were in Israel in the time of what? Elias. Is that correct? Is that correct? The prophet. And none of them were what? None of them were cleansed, except what? Naaman is. So, did Jesus in his speaking show you 2 examples of what honor can do?
Yes, sir.
You know, so you can write it and read it and look at that one. 1 Kings 17, verse 7, 16. Let's even go there and just close there today. Once for us, I'll pick it up again. 1 Kings 17, 7, 16. Let me close there today. 1 Kings. 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings 17. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because they had what? I know that. Because they had not been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, go thee to what? Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded the what? A widow woman there to sustain thee. Is that correct there? Yeah? So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering the sticks. And he called her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. Are we together? Yes. Listen to what is about to happen. He said, And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth. What? In a parable. Are you following?
Yes, sir.
And a little oil in a what? Cross. In a jar. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may what? Eat and die. So they were already at the point of giving up. But God sent his man. Look at the next verse. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not. Go just one, do as I say. But make me dear of a little cake first, and bring it unto me. And after make for thee and for thy son. And for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the water. Hey, glory to God. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and said, and she and he and her house, they ate for many days, Look at 16 verses together, 1, 2, 3, go. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which is spoken. What happened? A woman honored God's servants, and that supernaturally changed the course of her life. Who referred to this story in the book of Luke, where we just read?
Jesus.
Are we together? What was he trying to illustrate? A prophet is not without honor, save his. Okay. A prophet is without honor, save his. How do you say that? Yeah. A prophet lacks honor. You know this story. Like second one, Naaman and Syrian, Second King 5. So Second King 5. Let us read this and call it a day for today. I'll pick it up on Wednesday. Let's have a quick read of verse 1-14. Please, let's read together. 1-14. Second Kings 5. Are we good? One, two, three, go. Now, Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and he was what? Honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance from Syria. He was also a mighty man of what? Valor, but he was a never. Verse 2, and the Syrian had gone out by company, and had brought the great captain of the land of Israel, in it to me, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he will recover him of this leprosy. And one went in and told the Lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is in the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send the letter to the king of Israel. And he departed and took him 10 talents of silver. Is that a gift? And 6,000. Is that a gift? 6,000 of pieces of gold and 10 pieces of bronze. Verse 6. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now with this letter is come unto thee. Behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee. And thou mayest recover him from his what? Leprosy. And it came to pass that when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he what? He read his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive? That this man doeth send unto me to recover a man with leprosy? Wherefore consider I pray you and see how he seeketh the cry against me. And it was so, when Elisha the man of God, is that correct? Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel, so it's Elisha, not Elijah, yeah? Yeah, and it was so, and when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a what? There is a prophet in it, there is a man of God in Israel. Hallelujah. So the man came with him in horses and with his chariot, and he stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan. How many times?
Seven
times. And their flesh shall come again unto thee, and thou shalt be washed clean. Verse 11. But the man was wroth, and he went away and said, Behold, I thought, he will surely come out of me and stand, and call the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand about the priest, and recover the leper. And not happen now to every river of Damascus, better than all this water in Israel. May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in rain. What is happening? Pastor says you should do something that is stupid. Is that correct? There are examples of something that sounds stupid. All together. You know, I say, the water in my village is not even cleaner than this water pastor that I should drink. Is that correct? Yeah? Yeah? So look at what happens in verse. You know, if Jesus would have, if a pastor heals somebody with spit and sand today, they will fight him. Even the people that their eyes are still closed. Are we together? So what am I saying this to you? See, the method and virtue by which God will complete his power, they are found on the lips and decision of the man involved. Are we together? Yeah? So look at verse 13 to verse 14, verse 31, 3 go. And the servant came near and spoke unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid you to do some great thing, who does thou not have done it? You need those kind of friends in your life.
Yeah.
Yes? Would you have done it? How much rather then, when he said to thee, wash and be clean? So he's saying, you can just wash, at least let's attempt it. Is that correct? Then you can go to the Then went he down and did himself seven times, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was what? Clean. Verse 15. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company had came and stood before him, and he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I praise thee, take the blessing of thy son. So maybe he wanted to use the money to do surgery. Those people were so stingy. God will deliver you from something that will cost you £2,000. Are we together? Eh? Something that will cost you £20,000. God can have a miracle or something that happened. Eh? That money you say you put in your pocket. Are we together? I'll pick another Wednesday, but you will hear stories. What did this man do? He got angry. Is that correct? Why we ask that man and dirty water? Well, yes, then when he had a same friend who said, go and take yourself and let's see what happens. And he did, and what happened? As the prophet had said. As the prophet had said. Are we together? Right? And he says, I prayed and take a blessing of the servant. And he said, as the Lord lived before whom I stand, I will receive none. And the Lord will take it, but he refused. I would say, look at that. So who rejected the gift here? Elisha. Is that correct? Can the pastor reject the gift?
Yes.
Is it your own weapon to reject it?
No.
Are we together? I know pastor will not collect. You know what I'm saying? I know my pastor doesn't like money. Doesn't like it. There's nothing he gives him. He doesn't have everything. No. There's no pastor who has everything. I've not realized that people who think, I'm going to look at an example of the alabaster box. Let me close my Bible so I don't cause any teaching. The woman broke an alabaster box with expensive perfume at the feet of Jesus. What did Jesus say? Is that those people are so, they're so familiar people. You see, money was supposed to give to the poor. You used to buy private jets. Is that what happened in our world? What did Jesus say? The poor you always have with you. Let that continue. That's my master. That is God in the flesh. He said, this money is what? Why? Church is building auditoriums where people are not going to school. It's like you didn't go to school. Why? Pastors, some people believe that pastors should live in a kind of life. We're going to look at that in a couple of weeks. You understand that the pastor should know how to live. The same Paul would say, correct them that they did not give him. Paul would say, see that church. This is how they gave up. You see, sometimes when we say these things, you think because we're not using the Bible to go to, we don't know what we are saying. They're all in the Bible. They're all in the Bible. So Jesus would say, the poor you always have with you. That does not mean that pastor should not be using every money. Nobody is not even benefiting. He's just using everything. He's just be buying everything and be eating and be growing stomach. No, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying it is not in your place. I told you last week, you have a promise to give a pastor, a leader, or whatever it is, a gift of £100. And as you talk about you drop minus, divide by two. You talk, say 30 is okay. As I'm about to put 30 in the app, the thing just come back to 15. And before you know, you remove the one in front, it's 5. That acts. That reflects your heart. Amen.
Amen.
Have we learned something today? Look at someone around and talk about the things you've learned this beautiful morning.